Yo, what's going on, y'all? Welcome back to another episode of Combo Breaker 99 Talks. I'm Combo Breaker 99, and this is episode 2. Like I said, this is going to be a show where I just kind of go back and talk about different fights from boxing and women's MMA, you know. And this past weekend, we had some good fights go down, you know, from Friday all the way to Saturday. We had a lot of boxing. You know, some of the boxing wasn't really like fights I wanted to see, but, you know, Friday we had the Invicta FC card, so I'll go back and, you know, kind of talk about the fights, you know, as far as who won. And, you know, I want to go back and talk about the ladies fights on the UFC 247 card, you know, Lauren Murphy versus Andrea Lee and Valentina Shevchenko and Caitlin Chikugin. Both good fights, but I want to talk about the decision making as well, you know, as far as the judges and the scoring in the game. You know, they kind of been messing things up for the fighters, you know, as well as the John Jones and Dominique Reyes fight. You know, I gave my thoughts on that fight a little bit as well, but as far as like the boxing, you know, the boxing was okay. You know, we had some fights on DAZN and on PBC, Showtime. Like, they weren't really like big major fights though. Like, we had Kell Brook. He made a comeback against Mark DeLuca, which is like his second comeback in, you know, like since 2018. And it was just, you know, a dominant fight for Kell Brook to me. You know, it was a competitive in some parts, but, you know, he just scored a 7th round knockout over Mark DeLuca. So I want to see Kell Brook make a decision. Is he going to fight in welterweight or junior middleweight, you know, against, you know, a top guy? You know, we'll see. But what else we had? We had Gary Russell Jr. and Guillermo Rigondeaux. They both came back on the same card. You know, Rigo, love his style. You know, he's one of my favorite fighters. But I really want to see these guys in some major fights. You know, Gary Russell, you know, this was another hard-fought decision for him. And, you know, he showcased his skill. But I want to see him in there with Leo Santa Cruz next. You know, that's a fight that I think he deserves. And, you know, Leo Santa Cruz is already calling out Tank, but Gary Russell needs this one this time, man. It's like he always gets the raw end of the deal. So I want to see Gary Russell in there with somebody like Leo Santa Cruz next. And for Rigo, I like to see him in there with Inoue, you know, one of the top pound for pound fighters. So, you know, if they can make something like that happen with those guys, you know, it'll bring me back to boxing. You know, with the, you know, it'll bring me back, you know, feeling a little bit more excited about some of these matchups that need to happen. But like I tell people, the UFC, you know, whether it's, you know, the women or the men, they really tend to make the significant fights all because, you know, there's not that many organizations as far as belts. You know, there's only one, you know, there's that one sanctioning body, which is, you know, that one belt they go for, the UFC title in each weight class. You know, there's not a whole bunch where, you know, the fighters are kind of spread out fighting different ranked guys that we never heard of. So the UFC kind of gives you the fights they you want to see because everybody is fighting everybody in that top 10. So you can't really, you know, go to this sanctioning body or you can just fight an unranked guy. You know, it's always going to be a fight of significance. But yeah, man, like I said, boxing wasn't really popping, but, you know, I did watch the fights. You know, you had Terry Harper. She won her unification title against Eva Wahlstrom. You know, pretty dominant performance. That was a good fight. Hannah Rankin, you know, she won her fight as well. There was Christina Medusa Duran. You know, she won her fight in women's boxing. So there was a lot going down, man. But the big fights for me were these Invicta FC 39 fights that went down. First up, on the card, we had Monica Franco. You know, she won a shutout decision over Christina Pettigrew. Pretty good, solid fight. You know, there was a lot of grappling here. You know, Franco was in a rough fight to me, but I think she nullified a lot of the forceful takedowns of Pettigrew. You know, she fought off the back foot well. You know, used a lot of her striking to kind of fend off Pettigrew from her rushes. And she just nullified a lot of it by, you know, fighting off the back foot and throwing a lot of good combinations to keep her back. I think Pettigrew is good. You know, this was her second fight back in the game. So there's a lot of room for her to grow. You know, I think she needs to work on her defense, kind of time her rushes and jab her way in. But, you know, this was a good second fight for her. Good learning experience. Next up, we had Adam Waits. Let's see. Jillian DeCourcy. You know, I'm a fan of her as well. You know, she's a pretty scrappy Adam Waits. And she came through, man, with another rough, tough fought decision over Linda Mihalik. Jillian, she's a really good wrestler. You know, right away she was really controlling the clinches and showcased some good wrestling, you know, really locking the head of Mihalik a few times and, just controlled the position, even from the fighting off her back foot. You know, her striking's improved. You know, she was setting things up with the jab, and every time, you know, she'd shoot in, she'd get a takedown and prove who was a stronger fighter. And I think from here, man, Jillian, the Corsi, I'd like to see her in there, probably with Ashley Cummins. That would be a good fight to see where she's really at. Or, you know, a rematch with Kelly D'Angelo. You know, she lost that fight like a couple years ago, I want to say. So I'd like to see them kind of mix it up again. You know, Kelly D'Angelo, she lost on this card as well, which I'll go back to, and which I'm going to talk about next. But this fight here next was a fight of the night, man, between Erin Blanchfield and Victoria Leonardo. Man, I didn't see this coming. I did a post-fight reaction video for this already, but Erin Blanchfield, she scored a second-round head kick knockout over Victoria Leonardo. And you know, going into this one, I said my prediction, Erin Blanchfield would win on the ground and Victoria Leonardo would win the stand-up. But Erin Blanchfield, she really showcased another level with this stand-up, man. She was setting up some good head kicks in this fight, some good straight left hands, and those head kicks were landing throughout the fight, dropping Leonardo in the first round, rocking her in the first round, to finally she got knocked out in the second round from one solid head kick. But it was a really good coming up fight for Erin Blanchfield, her first fight at 20 years old. So definitely, you know, shout out to her. They put, you know, she put on an excellent striking match, stand-up match. But moving on, we got Alicia Zapatella. You know, she scored a one-sided decision over Kelly D'Angelo. Zapatella, you know, she fought a pretty good explosive fight. I think she really controlled the fight with her, you know, her pressure, you know, her speed and her pressure. She really kept Kelly D'Angelo on the back foot. She used a lot of good, you know, speed, good right hands, and, you know, shooting in for a takedown in the second round. And I think that helped her secure both of those first rounds just by, being aggressive. You know, her aggressiveness wasn't just her, like, chasing somebody down. She was always following up with combinations. And if she missed a few shots, she would come back with, you know, at least two or three more to make sure she would stay up ahead. And Kelly D'Angelo, I think she did good. You know, she had a good jab going, but she needed to be more aggressive and let her hands go more, because Alicia Zapatella, you know, she controlled the whole fight to me as far as, you know, her effective aggressiveness and just overall, you know, combinations. But moving on, I also did a post-fight video for this. I don't know if it finished uploading, but Miranda Maverick, she pretty much dominated the UFC veteran and Pearl Gonzalez. Another good solid fight that I'm a fan of both ladies, so I couldn't really pick a winner. And you know, I was just like, yo, may the best lady win, for real. Because, you know, both of these ladies really work hard. You know, Pearl Gonzalez, she wants to go back to the UFC. But after a performance like this against Miranda Maverick, you know, I think she still has stuff to work on. Because Miranda Maverick, she's just getting better and better. You know, I feel like she's strong and she's powerful. But the top thing about her is that she's smart. You know, she fought a really smart grappling match here against Pearl Gonzalez, dominated from, you know, from round one to two. Second round was kind of give and take, but I feel like the first round and the third round, she really showcased her strength and she really controlled Pearl Gonzalez and showed Pearl some things that she probably didn't even know, you know, as far as like how she was controlling and being slippery on the ground. But it was definitely a solid fight. And I feel like from here, Miranda Maverick, she deserves a title shot. You know, she deserves a shot at the title and at flyweight, because she's really been dominant. You know, this, you know, what, was last year 2019 at November, was that November 2019 when they had the flyweight tournament that she won? Yeah. So she won that, and you know, now she's moved on, beat a UFC veteran, so she's definitely in lineup for a title shot to me. So yeah, she definitely deserves that. And the main event, Jin Yu Frey, you know, she won a pretty tough fight against Ashley Cummins. This was a non-title bout, because you know, Jin Yu Frey, she came in she missed weight by 0.8 pounds, so she lost the title and now the title is vacant. So since she won this fight, she's gonna have to refight for it again. So it's crazy, man, you know, making these weights are tough sometimes. So I think that Jin Yu Frey is probably going to do the wise thing, and if she might fight for the title one more time, she might go ahead and move up to strawweight, which might be smart for her, you know, because as far as her body frame, she could definitely make strawweight to me. And because when you look at some of the other ladies like Kelly D'Angelo, Jillian DeCourcy, or Alicia Zapatella, most of those ladies, they're kind of built for atom weight. You know, this is their weight class that they need to be in. Lindsey Van Zandt, you know, fighters like that. But when you look at somebody like Genufray, she does kind of have the frame of like a strawweight. So she might want to consider moving up to 115. But this was a pretty good scrappy fight. You know, Ashley Cummings, she made it a tough fight. I felt like she won the first two rounds just by being busier with her jab and outscoring Genufray till like the third round. Genufray really started sitting down on her shots. You know, she started backing on. Ashley Cummings up with more of the harder, accurate punches. You know, her left hand was really dominant in this fight. You know, she was able to really crack Ashley Cummings throughout those rounds. And I think Ashley Cummings started feeling the power, so she kind of slowed down. You know, she started getting busted up, and she didn't really have as much in her to the end of the rounds, because I think Genufray fought a more smarter, conserved fight. So she was able to come away with the win by unanimous decision. I say it was about 3-2. You know, I think Genufray had a better quality of work, and you know, she pretty much finished the fight stronger. But yeah, overall, man, it was a good card. Invicta FC, you know, they always put on some pretty solid cards. You're always going to see some diamonds in the rough, you know, in these divisions. And from here, like I said, the highlight fight was Aaron Blanchfield and Victoria Leonardo. And from here, I think that the most impressive on the card, as far as like impressive fighter of the night, was probably Miranda Maverick. You know, I think that she deserves a title shot, and she had the most impressive victory. So yeah, man, hope she gets that title shot. But from here, you know, I think they're gonna have the next card next month. You know, I'll probably do some announcements on that one as well, you know, as far as who's fighting on that card. But let's see what we got, man. Moving on, let's talk about the UFC 247 card a little bit as far as the women's fights. As you know, Lauren Murphy, she won a controversial decision over Andrea Lee, controversial split decision. And one of the cards had Lauren Murphy winning by 30-27, and that means that Andrea Lee didn't win a single damn round. I thought that was crazy, man, because first of all, right from the jump, man, right from round one, like I said, there was a lot of, if you go back and watch my post-fight, you know, thoughts on this, you know, you'll see my full breakdown on it, because I felt like Andrea Lee always stayed one step ahead of Lauren Murphy in this fight. You know, I felt like Lauren Murphy was game, and she was definitely being, you know, a pretty good scrappy fighter in this one. But I think that Andrea Lee just kept, you know, she just kept moving forward, you know, and making more adjustments than Lauren Murphy did. So I thought that the fight was secure for her. You know, I knew it was like a very competitive fight for her, very tough, because Andrea Lee was taking a lot of shots. But I don't know what the judges were looking at, man. Like, once you go back and even listen to the commentate, you know, I forgot to mention this in my video, you know, my video I did a couple of days ago. I think it was Joe Rogan, or one of the commentators, they were saying that one of the judges wasn't even looking at the fight. You know, they said he was like looking down at he was looking down or something. And I don't know if they said like two of the other judges were talking. So it was like they weren't even paying attention to this fight. So, you know, to me, I think that's real unprofessional. That's just showing the incompetence of these judges, and like they really need to like do a different practice here. You know, they really need a better practice on who they get to judge, because I've told people this before, like they need to maybe get like ex fighters to do this, because I think if you get an ex fighter to become a judge, they'll take it more seriously, because they know that the fight is in the judge's hands. You know, you can't always knock somebody out, so that's what the judges are there for. They're supposed to watch for everything, and they're supposed to know what they're watching for. So if you just have a guy in there that doesn't really care about the fights, or if they're just like, you know, sitting there trying to make money, you know, you can't have guys like that in there. They need to be fired. I agree with Andrea Lee on that. She was like, yo, this one judge that scored the fight 30-27 needed to be fired. And I agree with that, because every fight on this card might not be big to the fans, but it's big to that fighter. You know, that fighter in there is trying to move his way up the rankings, you know, with each fight. So whenever he's on a early prelims or prelims, and, you know, just because like the crowd isn't there yet, that doesn't mean that the judge doesn't have to not pay attention to the fight. You know, so like if it's one of an empty room to, you know, like the first fight kicking off, that doesn't mean that the judge can just sit there, be eating a sandwich, or just like texting or looking at his phone or on Instagram live or something like that, or just talking to other people. No, man, you still got to take that fight seriously. Like, Let's say if nobody was there watching Andrea Lee and Lauren Murphy fight, that doesn't mean you got to go to sleep or take a nap. No, you got to watch that fight because, you know, your decision really decides these fighters, you know, what happens next in these fighters' careers. So you have to pay attention to that. And I think that was just kind of dirty that, you know, they didn't pay attention to the fight because I'm sitting here at home watching the fight. You know, I'm judging it. I'm scoring it. And as I'm watching it, I'm like, you know, okay, like Lauren Murphy is making this a tough fight for Andrea Lee. Like Andrea Lee is taking a lot of hits, but Andrea Lee's also giving a lot of hits back. And, you know, she's staying one up on the game. Like I actually was going for Lauren Murphy in this fight, but just because she won doesn't mean, you know, I'm happy for her. Like I still feel like she lost the fight. You know, I would have felt better if she would have just, you know, lost this close fight and we could have just said, hey, she needs to go back to the drawing board and work on some things. You know, that would have been cool because when we got down to the third round, I was like, you know, Lauren Murphy's still just kind of boxing. You know, she hasn't stepped up her game. You know, there's still some things that she needs to do. And Lauren Murphy, you know, Andrea Lee is just staying one up on her. But when that decision was read, I was like, oh, shit, man, what were they looking at? Are they smoking? You know what I mean? Because I just said, like, 30-27 just wasn't fair at all. It was just like you didn't watch the fight. It was just like you already judged before, you know, the fight even took place. It was just like you said, okay, Lauren Murphy's the girl I'm going for, so I'm going to just give her all three rounds. You know, that's what it seemed like. It was like they didn't even watch it because if you look at the amount of strikes landed, Andrea Lee was topping her, you know? So I can understand if Andrea Lee feels a certain way. Like I heard, she said she doesn't even want to go back and look at the fight because it is kind of disgusting, you know, whenever something like that happens because it makes them frustrated now and it'll make a fighter really question if they want to fight again because their skills are going to be in the hands of incompetent idiots. You know what I mean? So I don't know, man. But yeah, from here, as far as the outcome, you know, Lauren Murphy winning the fight, I don't know what's going to happen. Like the fight might get overturned or not, but Lauren Murphy, she's looking ahead right now. You know, Lauren Murphy's already looking ahead, which I can't blame her. You know, I can't blame her, but she's looking ahead to either fight Roxanne Modafferi or JoJo Calderwood, which to me, I would say each fight makes sense, but I think that Roxanne Modafferi might have just earned a title shot. You know, to me, I think she's already done what she needed to do. You know, she's already beat, you know, she's already took some O's lately. You know, she's beat Antonina Shevchenko. Now she's beating Macy Barber. And, you know, she's getting older, so she probably wants that last title shot, you know, at some point. And, you know, Valentina would probably want to get revenge for her sister too. And I think that would just be a good skill for skill matchup at this point. But for Lauren Murphy, the JoJo fight would be nice. You know, I heard Valentina saying that JoJo might be next for her, but I would rather see JoJo fight Lauren Murphy, you know, to kind of get back in the mix again. Cause it's been a while since that Andrea Lee fight. So I just want to see JoJo and Lauren Murphy kind of throw down and then maybe fight the winner of Valentina and Roxanne Modafferi. But that would be better. But like I said, overall, man, like for Andrea Lee, I'm not really like a big Andrea Lee fan, but you know, I feel for her as far as like the decision that was made, because now, like I said, she's probably going to go back and think, what do I got to do in every fight? Do I got to try to knock somebody out every time or risk getting knocked out? You know, and that's one of the things I'm kind of partial on is, you know, the saying, don't leave it in the hands of the judges, because if you don't leave it in the hands of the judges, you always got to go for a knockout or risk getting knocked out. And if you're thinking that way, then why are we hiring judges? You know what I mean? Like, why are judges even being considered to be in the game? You know, so I don't know, man, but that's how I feel on that fight as far as what happened. I feel like Andrea Lee did win the fight, and that third judge probably does need to be fired. Yeah, but let's see, man. Moving on. Last topic I want to talk about really is Valentina Shevchenko versus Caitlin Chikugian. This here, man, woo. You go back and look at my post-fight thoughts on this video as well, man. Like, my only question is, who can stop a bullet? Who can stop the bullet? You know, shout out to Coach Shelton Harrison. You know, he's always like, he's real big on Valentina Shevchenko. She's not my favorite fighter in the flyweight division. Look, I give her all the credit in the world. My favorite fighter is JoJo. You know, I followed her the longest, but I got to give Valentina all the credit in the world. You know, she's definitely one of the best fighters in the UFC. You know, she's definitely got the style. She's definitely like this complete fighter with this style that just makes her levels above everybody in her division. You know, I don't know who can beat her. You know, I don't even know who can give her a tough fight right now. That's why I'm just saying the Roxanne Modafferi fight makes sense because she's already beaten everybody else now and kind of put herself in that realm. But it's still not the realm that Valentina's in, you know. So I'm really trying to figure this out. Who can stop the bullet, man? Because after seeing this fight against Caitlin Chigugian, you know, it only took Valentina 3 rounds to showcase so much, you know, so little time, but she showed so much of what she has. Like, she's shown more, she's shown more in this fight than a lot of fighters have shown in like in a 5-round fight or their whole career. Like, I'm not just saying that or being, you know, I'm not exaggerating. I just feel like Valentina was showing me how confident, how disciplined, how technical she can be and how dangerous she is. Like, her stance is very scary to these fighters. Like, if you go back and look at it, Caitlin really looked apprehensive. You know, she really looked reluctant on wanting to throw punches in there at times. Like, she's the taller, longer fighter, but there was like, she was always thinking like, should I throw this jab? I might get hit with the straight left hand if I throw this jab. You know, it's almost like these fighters are thinking like, what do I do to not get hit? You know, they really have a hard time setting anything up because the way Valentina's so poised. You know, Valentina's always set to strike. Like, she's moving. She's flat-footed, but the way she stays flat-footed, it's like she's always in a position to hit, but at the same time, she's always in a position to not get hit. You understand? Like, she's just doing so many things at once that these fighters don't know what to look out for. Like, they don't know, is she about to throw a combination? Is she about to, you know, hit me with the leg kick? Or is she about to, like, do a spin kick or a back fist? And Caitlin Chigugian was hit with all this in the first 2 rounds. You know, Caitlin Chigugian was trying to get a jab going. She got hit with the back fist. She tried to switch to southpaw. She got hit with the leg kick straight back to orthodox. She got hit with, like, a good combination. Like, good solid combination of the night to me was her Valentina southpaw jab and a straight left hand and ending it with the leg kick. You know, these were some solid shots she was getting hit with. And by the end of the round, Valentina's taking her down and then just straight ground and pounding her, beating her up. So if you just go back and look at my post-fight, like, reaction video, you know, I'll break all that down. But my real question is, like, who can really, like, beat her? You know, I don't see anybody, right, giving her trouble. Like, if anything, Roxanne Modafferi might be able to give her some trouble, you know, after seeing what she's been able to do with these other fighters. But even her own unorthodox style really can't give Valentina trouble to me. Like, I think that Valentina is so cautious and careful on how she fights and how she throws that I don't see her really giving Roxanne, I don't see her giving Valentina any type of trouble because Valentina's just on this other level. And I've said this before, like, Floyd Mayweather is like one of the only other fighters where I say he's just on this other level of discipline and confidence that, you know, puts him above other fighters, whether, you know, pound for pound, whatever division it's in. And like, Valentina's kind of like that, you know, whether you're talking men or women, you know, Valentina's in that lane with like John Jones or like a Prime Anderson Silva, like a Demetrius Johnson, you know, like, she really cares about what she does. That's why she really trains and like leaves no stone unturned, you know, as far as like making sure she knows everything. She takes everything into the octagon with her, you know. Shout out to Caitlin Chigugian. Like, it's not to bash her in any way or knock her down ranks, but she was number one. You know, to me, she was the number one contender where she stood, you know. But the thing is, it's just that the number one she's at and the top 10 under Valentina, they're just nowhere near Valentina as far as skill wise. You know, Caitlin, you know, she stepped up to the plate. It wasn't like she tried to duck the fight. You know, she didn't miss weight or anything to try to get out of the fight. You know, she wanted it. You know, she wanted the fight. So I got to give her credit. You know, she still is one of the best flyweights amongst the rest of the top 10. You know, she could still beat a lot of the other ladies in the top 10, but just can't beat Valentina. You know, Valentina's just on another level. But from here, man, like, Valentina Shevchenko, she should be looking for a fight with Roxanne Modafferi to me instead of JoJo. You know, she wanted that fight with Calderwood. And I'd like to see JoJo in there with a Valentina, you know, getting her title shot. But I think she needs one more fight just to kind of get that confidence ready, you know, and kind of work on some things, you know, because you got to be ready for somebody like Valentina, you know. And Joanne, like, as much as I'm a fan of her, I think she just needs that one more fight. Like, I don't want to say she's going to get slaughtered or anything like that, but I think she just needs that one more fight to make sure that she's ready for somebody like Valentina, man. But overall, it was just a good fight too, man. That fight was solid. Three round stoppage for Valentina. You know, she just took it to Kayla all three rounds, whether she was taking her down, she was outstriking her, took her down in that third round, and just you know, tied that left arm up and just went to work on her with the elbows and the strikes until the referee stopped it, man. It was just like excellent performance by Valentina. But yeah, man, from here, I want to see her either fight Roxanne Modafferi next. Yeah, just Roxanne Modafferi. I'd like to see her fight Roxanne Modafferi next. That would probably be a good one. But what else has been going on, man? Like I said, it wasn't too much, you know, boxing going down that was too exciting for me. Like I said, since Gary Russell Jr. won his fight, I do want to see him return against Leo Santa Cruz. I want to see him get a big fight. You know, I want to see something like that go down. But yeah, man, as far as MMA, let's see, we got Macy Chase on. She's fighting this Saturday coming up. And once again, her opponents changed. Well, not once again for her, but, you know, once again, opponents change. You know how that happens. We got Nico Montano. She's out. She's out with an injury. So Shannon Young, if you're not familiar with Shannon Young, Shannon Young was originally supposed to fight on the Invicta FC 39 card. She was going to be fighting Diana Torcato, but she had to pull out sick. So now she gets to fight in this UFC fight, which is crazy. You know what I mean? I thought that fight was going to be a flyweight too. So I guess she's moving up to 135 to face Macy Chase on, which is going to be tough, man. That's going to be tough for Shannon Young, you know, taking her first fight against Macy Chase on like that. But that fight's going down this weekend, UFC Fight Night 167. So Macy Chase on versus Shannon Young is taking place now because Nico Montano is out on an injury. I don't know what the injury is, but she's out. And I don't know, man. Leave a comment in the comment section. What do y'all think, man? Do y'all think Nico Montano is done or what? Because it's been a while since she's been in the octagon, right? Like, let me see. When was the last time she was in the octagon? I got to look that up because she is really questionable right now as far as, like, you know, what path she's on. You know, she got popped once. You know, she vacated the title and not fought. She didn't want to fight Valentina. Her whole agenda on what she was going to do in the game is just like gone. You know, well, her last fight was July 2019 against Julianna Pena. Yeah. And she lost that fight. So you would have thought she wanted to return to the octagon, you know, and get back in there against somebody like Mace Chase on. But I mean, yeah, she got injured, so she can't. But I don't know, man. Like, I don't know what path she's on right now as far as like coming back into the game. So, you know, there's a lot of things that she's got to get back together. But what else we got going on? But yeah, man, as far as I wanted to talk about today, that was pretty much it. You know, as far as the women's card that went down and just some of the boxing that went down this weekend. But yeah, man, I think for my final thoughts, what I'll say is, you know, if you really want to learn how to like transition to mixed martial arts, if you just want to watch a well-rounded fighter that can teach you different things, I definitely tell any man or woman just to watch like a Valentina Shevchenko career, you know, as far as what she does in Muay Thai, and then go over to watch her fights and you know, in mixed martial arts, you know, watch her do that transition over and just watch her train, watch her how she fights, how she approaches her fights, you know, everything she does, because I think she's a good fighter on how to actually get you ready. You know what I mean? Like, anybody can watch her styles and just say, oh man, you know, this, she has everything, you know, like, just like if you were to watch Floyd Mayweather, somebody like Floyd Mayweather or James Toney in boxing, those are excellent fighters on teach you how to do certain things and in the ring, you know. So I think that she's one of the best fighters to kind of show you how to mix it up as far as, you know, use your boxing, use your striking, you know, use your Brazilian jiu-jitsu, all of that, you know. I think she's a good complete fighter for you to learn from. But yeah, man, that's all I got on this episode, y'all. So I'll probably be back later this week if I got some more stuff to talk about that I really want to, you know, get off my chest. But make sure y'all subscribe here on my Combo Breaker 99 YouTube channel. Also subscribe to the Jab Effect YouTube channel as well, and subscribe to the Jab Podcast on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, Google Play, SoundCloud. That's a podcast where I talk about anything and everything boxing. So just go over there and subscribe if you want to talk about boxing. But over here, you know, I talk about everything combat sports. So subscribe to this YouTube channel, Combo Breaker 99. And yeah, man, I'll be back with another episode pretty soon. Like I said, there's some more stuff I want to talk about. You know, I'll come on back. But until then, I'm Combo Breaker 99. I'm out. Peace.